appreciate your faithfulness and your desire to be here with the saints. Because you're alive. Because we're alive. What do you think of when somebody says alive, arise? Or do you think of something that might be similar to a horror movie? It's alive! You know? Or maybe Clint Eastwood. He's alive. You know? Maybe you're a big fan of Garth Brooks and he's just going to run around and, it's alive! It's alive! Each and every one of us have a different perspective on what being alive is. And for this morning, our lesson, I'd love to be able for us to look at God's Word and some passages dealing with being alive to remind us that we are alive forever by the grace of God. Our sins have been forgiven. His Spirit is walking within us and is working within us. We are alive. Our lesson text this morning comes from the passage after this, but I thought it very important to include as thinking about being alive, the first four verses of Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as of us, as were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Alive. And you'll notice in the passages here in Romans that we're looking at that there's two different things. Those that are alive are spiritually well and are saved and are turning from sin, folks. And you wonder in our lives, you know, why we don't feel like we're alive, why we don't feel every day is a blessing, why we don't feel God's hand upon us, guiding us. Sin. It could be sin of disappointment. Sin of worry. Sin of all kinds of simple things in our lives. We're not talking about you killed somebody yesterday. We're not talking about adultery and an affair. Just simple sins can rob us from being alive, from our joy. Joy, joy being down in our heart. Simple things. Strangers can rob us from being alive. Isn't that right? Brother Phil, as we drive up and down the road. It's tough. Folks, recognize sin in our lives. It hinders us. Satan wants us to be dead. He wants us to feel downtrodden. He does not want us to be alive. Certainly for Christ in our lives. In our lesson text, Brother Tony read for us, highlighted to live with him. And he lives to God, speaking about Jesus. But likewise you also reckon. Look at that, reckon. See here, we think that that's a southern term. I reckon. That's a biblical term. Because I don't think they had people from Kentucky translating the Bible. Okay, back then. Or Alabama or Mississippi. Or any of those other folks. They have a little bit of a twang to the how they speak. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. Now, these two passages, okay, reckon yourselves and present yourselves. So who does that? Who does that? Once again, Bob, we're going to work on our wives, right? Our wives need a little bit of help. See, I'm not getting anybody else in trouble. Bob and I are already in trouble, so it doesn't matter. But folks, it's ourselves. We've got to reckon ourselves. present ourselves. As much as Kelly would like to present me as pure in Christ, she can't do it. I got to do it myself. As much as we care and have concerns about other people and their spiritual well-being in their lives. Folks, if I'm not alive in my daily life, guess what? How can I share that and help other people be alive? If I'm not dead to sin, if I'm struggling with sin in my life, how can I reach out and help others to turn from sin? Folks, many of us in here have been Christians for decades. That sounds like a long time, doesn't it? Decades, that means more than 10 years or multiple 10 years. Can't say centuries except for, I won't say that, because it's not true. Decades. But folks, we are always going to continue to be bombarded with temptations in our lives. We live in the flesh. Until we're at home with Him, that's just the way it is. We've got to pick up our sword and fight that battle. That's a spiritual battle. We've got to be able to say no to sin. And just about the time you think, man, I'm doing good, kabamo. Doesn't matter how much you read God's word, you got to be able to continue to be alive for Christ and dead to sin. We've got to continue to say no to temptations. And continuing, let's look at a passage in Matthew. On the next day, Matthew 27, on the next day which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together with Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive, how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will arise.' Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard, go your way, make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Now, a couple of things I want to draw out of this passage. While he was still alive, you know, this is people, Jesus, when Jesus was alive here on earth. You know, when Jesus was here, alive on earth, guess what? Jesus is still alive. He's still here to help us. He sent a helper to help us, his Holy Spirit. He is still alive here on this earth. And you know what? There's many people today that still call Jesus a deceiver, just like this person did. Well, you know that deceiver. He deceives you. And that's not true. You know, how can this Bible be true? How can it all be right? Because that's how great and holy and good God is. That's what being alive is all about. Knowing that you have the truth. You know? How many of us thought we knew exactly how to... I'll use Tony for example. Tony, you working on cars and fixing them up and different things. How many times you went to buy something at the auto parts store and think you had the right thing, you got home and it doesn't fit? It happened to me. I trusted in the automotive parts store this last week, had a headlight out on my truck. Went and bought the headlight, brought it home, had to take the grill out, had to take covers off, you know, it's a big ordeal. That's engineering, you know. So after about an hour worth of YouTube watching and taking it off, I find out and pull it out, I got the wrong bulb. So I got to get back. Luckily, I got another truck. I got to get in it, go back to town, get the right bulb, take the old one with me that I knew was the right one. "Oh, we got one of those." But I trusted it. I had the right one the first time. Folks, it's going to happen in our lives. But you can always trust you get the right information from God the first time. You don't have to keep going back and saying, you know. The only time we got to go back is to say, "I made a mistake." You know, that's what repentance is all about. "Man, I made a mistake. I need to turn from that sin. I need to be alive." We will never be deceived by God. And for people to claim that He is a deceiver, and He is not the all in all, and we're still waiting for somebody else, or somebody else came along and was better than Him, that's a lie. It's a lie, it's a lie. And Pilate said to them, you have your own guard, go your way, make it as secure as you how. Do all you can do. All the power you got and the best guard you got. Folks, I tell you today, still today, people can't touch Jesus and the power he has in making people alive. But we can remove ourselves from that power. We can decide not to be engaged with Jesus and with heavenly realms and with the power that he gives us and he offers us. We choose individually to follow him or not to follow him, to be alive or to be dead to sins. And folks, if you have a day where you're dead to sins, start the next day fresh and anew and alive to Christ. Don't give up. Don't let sin cause you to give up in your lives. In Mark chapter 16, one of the greatest passages in the Bible, and there's probably thousands of them, but this is one of the great ones. Now, when he arose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and they told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Folks, where are we at in this? What happens if somebody tells us about Jesus and to be alive and tells us some truths of Jesus? It sounds a little bit right, you know? A little bit right. I'll take a little bit of that, not all of it. I don't know whether I believe that or not. You know, somebody tells us something out of the Bible while we're studying the Bible, and there's three or four of us, and we're going, you don't hear this too much anymore, you know? But we're looking, we're searching. Brother Phil's searching. Brother DC, Brother Brad, we're searching. See if that is true or not. To see if we can believe in that. To see, we don't remember hearing that. Which is good, because we're alive while we're searching and looking for the truth. But you know, there's other people that believe and saw Jesus. So are you part of the first group that the minute you see Jesus, you're alive? Are you part of the second group that, I heard that, and I heard them, and I heard Mary, and I heard them other couple guys, but nah, it's not for me. Not for me. Jesus isn't for me. Basically, you're saying, I don't want to be alive. I'd rather be dead in sin. What a crazy thing, right? What a crazy thing to think, you know? Common sense isn't all that common, right? What a crazy thing to think, I'm going to be dead in sin today. But if we're not alive, that's exactly what we're doing. And then Jesus rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because it did not believe. Folks, when we don't obey God's holy words, similarly, we do the same thing. Did I make up that word, Kelly? Similarly? No, that's a real word. First time I ever used it, I think. Jesus rebuked their unbelief, their hardness of heart, because they did not believe. They were not alive. And then he said this, even though you got a hard heart, even though your unbelief is hindering you from recognizing who I am, he says, I still need your help. He said, don't give up. He said, go into all the world. Just don't try it once in your life to talk to your neighbor. He said, be alive. Go into all the world and teach them this truth. They got to believe. They got to be baptized to have their sins washed away. And teach them the things that I brought forth. Folks, and they proceeded, the disciples proceeded to be alive and to be dead to sin. And their example is, you know, forthcoming in the rest of the New Testament. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it is written, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient. When once the divine suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype, which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers have been made subject to him." He is alive. And made alive by the Spirit. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. You know, a question was asked in Bible study this morning. You know, how do we know? How do we know that, I can't even remember the specific of it, but how do you know you're doing the right thing? How do you know you're not doing it out of selfish ambition? That's one of the questions out of Bible class this morning. If you're working on bringing other people to God, if you're working on helping other people make it to heaven, if you're helping other people to be alive in Christ and dead to sin, you're following Jesus. You're being made alive by the Spirit. You know, there's tragedy in God's holy word. There's tragedy in our lives. And Satan tries to use tragedy and catastrophes throughout all the history of the world to deter people from being alive. And in the book of Exodus, it reads, "But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, 'Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?' So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, 'Every son who is born to you shall be cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive.' So Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, 'Please let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt, to see whether they are still alive.' And Jethro said to Moses, 'Go in peace.'" I use this passages from Exodus to let us look at Moses for a minute, folks. You know, and I remembered this. What a tragedy. You think the world is going to pot in a handbasket? Can you imagine the President of the United States saying all the babies at this age that are born, all the male kids ought to die. Kill them all. Well, some people are doing that, okay? They'll have to answer to God for that. Can you imagine a king, a president, a ruler wanting every male child killed that's born for I don't know how long, you know, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years? King Herod did the same thing when Jesus was born. But God's word was still alive. There's still people of faith, just like these midwives, following the words of God, kept them alive. And we don't know how many babies were murdered. What a tragedy. But we do know that God keeps his promises, and by keeping his promise, Moses was put in a basket. Can you imagine being a mother and sticking Moses in that basket and let him roll down the river? What kind of heartbreak would that be?
I guarantee you they ask God why. Just like in our lives, sometimes we ask God why. God's answer was Moses had a destiny because he was going to be alive. And Moses spent many years on this earth through ups and downs and people calling him names and had all the prosperity, had a whole gamut of a whole livelihood until he finally realized, this is what God wants me to do. Now Joshua, since he was young, he said, here I am, Lord, send me whatever needs to be done. As for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord. It didn't take him years and years and years to find out what God wanted him to do. He was alive earlier in his life. And even though Moses was alive and he changed and he recognized where his heritage was and that he had a faith in the true and the living God and he was searching and hungering after righteousness, it took days in the desert and it took years in other countries before he came back. And folks, we have people in our lives that have left. And we care about them, and we love them, and we want them to come back and be faithful unto God. And I'm going to share a good story with you. I met a brother in Christ who's baptized 15 years ago, maybe. Struggled with his faith. And I found out this week, him and his wife been returning to church. They've been worshiping, I don't know, a year or so or more. Congregation south of Indianapolis. Folks, it happens. It happens. People are being made alive by returning to Jesus and following him and saying no to sin. I changed the order of my PowerPoint from my Word document, so I'm trying to figure out where I'm at. I know now. I'm in God's Word, Colossians 2. Verses 11 through 15, and it is written, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead to your trespasses and the circumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him. Having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He is made together alive together with him. Folks, this would be a neat passage we could read up here because it kind of explains what we're remembering when we gather around the Lord's table. But folks, do you recognize how many of these alive passages that talk about us being alive with him and alive in Christ, alive in the Spirit? They're tied with baptism. Being baptized into Christ. Getting rid of sins. Even though we've been washed away and God's fabulous commitment of Jesus' blood continue to cleanse us from those sins. Okay? They can deter us. We need to continue. How many of Paul's letters said, hey, don't be doing that. Be doing this. Don't be living in the flesh. Be living in the Spirit. Right? We call them fruits of the Spirit, right? Works of darkness, fruits of the Spirit. Dead, alive. He has made alive together with him. And you being dead in your trespasses and the circumcision of your flesh. Folks, one of the toughest things in our lives to do is to cut off something. It's not good for us. You know? It is. It is. I love everybody that's friends with me on Facebook. Just because I'm following Jesus, okay? But you know, there's some people I don't want to hear their stuff. So I've circumcised them on Facebook. Okay? You can use that if you guys want. You know, I cut them off. I don't want to hear their negativity. Now, I got people and friends that I think that are non-believers, and they're still on there, and I still listen to some of their input and some of their understandings and their insight. But the people that I can recognize that have not died to the flesh, especially Christians that I love, that I know they're involved in sin, and I see it on Facebook. I'm alive today. I don't want to, you know, I'll pray for you. I still love you. But I don't want to participate in that. And it's discouraging and it's disheartening. Let's make sure when we represent the kingdom of heaven, when we're on our electronic devices, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, whatever else is the latest nowadays, folks, let's do it in the spirit of the kingdom of heaven. Our last passage this morning comes from Ephesians that we brought up this morning in Bible class. Thank you, brothers. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, and which he loved us, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It doesn't say when you get to heaven, folks. And this is a neat point I'm bringing out because I heard it in Bible class this morning. It doesn't say when you get to heaven you're going to be alive. It doesn't say you have to wait till this flesh is dead until you're alive. God's holy word says he's rich in mercy. His great love, which he has loved us with, made us alive together in Christ, even when we're dead in trespasses, even when we sin, he still is making us alive together with Christ if we'll allow him to work on our hearts. Folks, it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. That's a neat thing about the gospel of Christ and being alive. It's a heart issue. You don't have to have a PhD. You don't even know how to read and write. And I won't say nothing about folks from the South. Okay, just jesting. My mother's born in Kentucky. Okay, raised in Alabama. That's why I'm so mixed up. My mom from the South. My dad's a Yankee. I'm half rebel, half Yankee. Now you figure it out, right, Bob? Now I know why you're so mixed up. But folks, doesn't matter where we're from. That's a neat thing about God's truth. It works on our hearts. It's a heart issue to be alive or not. It's a heart issue individually to say no to sin. And this morning I hope the lesson has reminded us to be alive this week in him. Turn to Jesus. If you have a need to be forgiven of your sins for the first time ever by being baptized into Christ, we offer that invitation. If you need the prayers of the congregation for any reason, we also offer that invitation as we stand and sing the elected song.